Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ordinary Council meeting of Brighton Council for the month of May. I welcome members of the public gallery, councillors and our senior staff. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palawapakana Aboriginal, Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item two is apologies and applications for leave of absence. Councillor Della Torre has requested leave of absence. Is someone moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Geard? Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 3 is confirmation of minutes, and item 3.1 is confirmation of minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 16th of April 2024. Is there any discussion or amendments? If not, can I have someone move?
Yep.
Moved by Councillor Curran, second by Councillor Irons. If there's no debate, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4 is declaration of interest. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2, Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2015, I am required to ask councillors if they wish to declare anything on an interest in anything on the agenda this evening.
No.
Thank you. No interest is declared. Item 5 is public question time and deputations. I'm advised there aren't any. Item 6 is reports from council. And item 6.1 is my communications for last part of April and beginning of May. Is there anything of interest there to anyone? Any questions?
Moved.
Thank you. That's moved by Councillor Owen. Seconded by Councillor Curran. If there's no discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 6.2 is reports from council representatives. Is there any reports from councillors tonight? Yes. Councillor Geard.
Yes, Mr Mayor. Brighton Council had the privilege of people from the Southern Emergency Management here, coordinators, and also the recovery that was at the Civic Centre. I'd like to thank Janine for facilitating that was really well received. It was quite a good meeting and some good things come out. And one of the best things we come out of, we just found out there's $600,000 available for all councils in the state for their emergency service coordinating centre. So things like bed, linen and everything, and a lot of disposable things, which in the past we couldn't get, we had to supply it ourselves. So now we can get it out of a stockpile, so which is good. The other thing that came out, that some of our emergency recovery court centres will actually be utilised in the region, so there'll be a regional centre, so we might be stocking some stuff that could be used regionally wise and vice versa from the other areas. So that's a lot of work going on between the two, all the municipalities, which is well received. The other one I neglected to mention before, I had the privilege of attending Canberra, representing all the SES volunteers in the state at the memorial for emergency service workers that paid the ultimate sacrifice in the last 12 months. There were 17 people added to the memorial in Canberra. Very solemn at that memorial. You nearly had tears running down your eyes when you see all the families come up and when they mentioned every person there, what happened and roughly how they passed away. So it was a very solemn place to go to. So, and the Governor General was there and I met with him, had a chat to him about, he said he wishes Tassie in the future, things like that. So, and after that, we continued with a directors meeting the following day and looking at risk analysis and everything else. And we got an invite to go to the National Emergency Centre and the National Crime Centre, which was a bit of a mind-opening to go in there and to see the map of Australia about as big as this room on the wall and things around Australia, what was going on, like a intensive storm in West Australia and also one in Cairns, but also it had earthquake in South Australia and also with the Palestinian people in the Melbourne, everything else was highlighted on the thing as well. So it was very, very interesting, and lightning strikes as well. So it just goes to show that they're on the ball. And the National Crime Centre, we just went into that. That was everything's hardwired. There's no windows. Had to take all jewellery had to come off. No metal things at all. So they're very, very touch on security. And in the top secret room there, you've got all the things just around the wall where you're on the floor and that, where ASIO, Defence Department, Premiers up in the States all meet and everything else. So that was really well. And I attended the show with you, with the Mayor as well, Brighton Show. We met with them here as well. And the other one, I had a meeting here to do with our grant with about the fire. We've got a grant to look at our fire situation overall in the area. Mainly was Church Road, Cranes Road and Milbar, but we're looking at the whole municipality now, so that's an ongoing. So there'll be a report eventually come back to Council for endorsement on that one. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks, Councillor Geard. Councillors, anything further?
The National Cab Award in Gascoigne Junction, but I can do that at the end if you like.
I'll do it now.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, I did write a report. Gascoigne Junction. As you all know, Brighton won the State Award for the Keep Australia Beautiful Tidy Towns Award last year, so Angela, Kylie, Joselle and myself went off to Gascoigne Junction. I was very proud to go and very pleased to be invited. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, James, for letting me go. And thank you, Lee, for not wanting to go or not being able to go. I'm so pleased you made that decision. So Gascoigne Junction, where the heck is that? You fly to Perth, then you fly to Carnarvon, then you get on a bus for 2.5 hours on a dusty red road. Try not to hit the cattle. And you arrive in Gascoigne Junction. The first thing I thought was, wow, it's all nice and green, because we'd been through the stunted bushes and dirt roads, and then you turn up into this little oasis. And the first thing you do when you get out of the bus is go and breathe, because the flies will get you. Gascoigne Junction was originally called Killily, which is Aboriginal for bulrush. It sits at the junction of the Gascoigne and the Lyons Rivers, and was given the name Gascoigne Junction because the locals would just say, meet you at the junction, and it's in the shire of Upper Gascoigne. We didn't see any water in the river, either of them. Gascoigne has a population of between 60 and 75 people and 10 million flies. It suffered a devastating flood in 2010, which destroyed the local pub, which was just dreadful, washed away the only grave and destroyed many other facilities. The town does not have a police station, a cemetery or a church, so it's a great place to live. A doctor visits once a month and a nurse visits once a fortnight. On our journey we were in a tent with a mattress on a pallet. It was a very welcoming tent with little lovely little touches, with a little vase of flowers and a box of tissues and a giant can of fly spray. Came to appreciate that can of fly spray. I've never appreciated the smell of fly spray before in my life. In fact, I've hated it. Now I actually quite like it.
And the corks.
We were also given a net as a face covering for the flies. This is the Gascoigne mode of peril that you wear every day. Don't leave home without it, because you can't. Unless you're really hungry. So on the night that we arrived there, we were given a welcome barbecue, and the Australian Army Band, part of the Australian Army Band from Perth, were there, and it turned out I knew two of the people, which was really exciting. So to get to the nitty-gritty, Bridge Awarder took out three awards, technically. We won an award for our Waste Prevention and Reduction Initiative, which was Bin to Win. We also won a highly recommended or highly commended award for the BIAG, those amazing young legends. Joselle Griffin is now a Dame, because she won the Dame Phyllis Frost Award for community engagement through her work with the Red Cross. The winner of the national awards was Beechworth, and I was hoping that Aaron would be here tonight, because one of the things they won it for was their honey school, the Beechworth Honey School, where they got the children to focus on the life of bees and the protection of bees. And they also, one of the other ones they won it for was their youth-led disaster recovery. So you can see a trend of youth being involved in these awards, which is great. Another one that stood out for me was Hermannsburg with their groats. Now, groats is an amazing thing. I think everyone thinks Tasmania is lovely and green and we've got lots of water. But these things are a little like a case, and you put, when you plant your tree, you plant it in this thing with the water, and as the tree grows, it breaks down and fertilises the tree. So by the time it's broken down, the tree's reached a certain height so it can sustain itself. I don't know whether we want to look into the cost for those, but it seemed like a great idea. There's so much more I could say about this trip, but I said whatever happened in Gascoigne would stay in Gascoigne. We did some amazing things. They fed us, and then when we were looking the other way, they tried to feed us again. We went on an amazing bus trip to the Kennedy Ranges and the Honeycomb Gorge, more flies. And after lunch, not flies, we went to a cattle station, the big, I can't say it, the Gima cattle station, where we met Hamish McTaggart and his father Lachlan out in the middle of the whoop. Anyway, we were shown their homestead and their cattle. We were shown through the town. We went to the local school, the local businesses, the post office, which is in with all the others. And we were told about the history of the Gascoigne. The hospitality was overwhelming. We were fed, as I said. It's an amazing place with very amazing people. And I just thank you for the opportunity to have attended. And I'm not telling any stories about our matching sleepwear. But I've got photos.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor. Is there any other reports from councillors? If not, can I have someone move those reports be received? Moved by Councillor Irons, second by Councillor McMaster. I put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 7 is miscellaneous correspondence, and listed there is a letter from the Acting Minister for Sports and Events, Nick Dygan, from the 13th. Just a little bit of background on that. The state government were going to put a high-performance basketball centre, basketball courts and a gymnastics set up at Wilkinson's Point in Glenorchy. That will no longer happen. There will be a high-performance centre for the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, which will be at Kingston. They have still promised to build 4 indoor courts for basketball at in Glenorchy, but at a location to be decided later, so it won't be at Wilkinson's Point. And they are keen now to discuss with council and the HGA management in regards to locating a high performance or a gymnastics centre out here in our little patch. As you can see in the letter, there's only been a promise of $450,000 from the state government out of existing funding and no talk about how much more they are willing to provide. But it will certainly be an opportunity for 3 levels of government, hopefully mainly the 2 top tiers, to put that facility out here. And we've reached out to the minister to have some further discussions. So we'll keep you updated as that progresses through. Is there any questions
just a
on that?
Question there, Mayor. Mm-hmm. That 450 you spoke of, is that the balance of the half million?
Yes, it is.
That we got,
yeah,
3 years ago.
That's correct, Councillor Owen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just to add to the Mayor's comments, I've got a meeting tomorrow morning with the director in the relevant department, and we have a meeting with the minister, I think it's Wednesday next week, mid next week. And I'll talk about it with councillors more informally later, just to get some thoughts from you all in an informal setting before those meetings.
Thank you. Moving on, item 8 is notification of council workshops, and there were 2 workshops held, and the attendance at those are noted in our agenda. Item 9 is notices of motion, and there aren't any. Item 10 is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. There are no supplementary items. Item 11 is report from committees. There were no committee meetings in the month of May. Item 12 is council acting as a planning authority. Once again, there are no planning items on tonight's agenda. Item 13 is officers' reports. And item 13.1 is the Brighton Community Volunteer Strategy. Ange, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this one has been in the process of development for quite a while. So Brittany, our previous community development officer, started this process. Volunteering Tasmania have worked with quite a number of councils in recent times to develop volunteer strategies. It really is a response to some of the data that's outlined in the report that you have there, that you know, populations are growing but volunteers are actually decreasing in numbers. And so it's seen as an important way for us to put it as a priority for council to support volunteering. And so this final kind of draft, as such, is the output that came from the process of a couple of workshops, then there was some consultation phase, and then Volunteering TAS collated all of that for us, and then we were given that, and it's been crafted into this draft strategy. So the idea is that this will now go out to our community to see it in draft form, and the community can have final input. If people feel like they missed out on that opportunity, it was an open invitation for anyone who wanted to be involved in the process, but as we know, people change, come and go, so this will be an opportunity for people who feel they have some input that they would like considered to be able to feed that back to us as well. So we thought it was a really good time during National Volunteer Week to put our draft strategy out to community, and we will actually announce that the Mayor will have it in his run sheet on Thursday at the Community Awards, that this is going out for community consultation, and people will have, if everyone's in agreement, we'll have 4 weeks to make any submissions or input. And that's really it, unless anyone had any questions.
Thanks, Ange. Councillors, any questions on that strategy? Councillor Irons.
Is a comment acceptable? Yes.
A comment, yeah, can be acceptable.
Absolutely. But I think the volunteering space, it's as someone who relies very heavily on it outside of council with sort of 2,500 volunteers that rescue thousands of animals a year, we've certainly noticed it being harder and harder. I mean, we still regularly get lots of people coming along, but we're in a changing world where people are very, very time poor and they do things differently. So there's suddenly opportunities to look at volunteers differently, where if screens are their thing and they can volunteer with graphic design or whatever it is, it still helps. But the dollars it saves everyone from councils to federal governments to businesses to everything else. And I guess my hope is anything we can do to push this to try and get responses from the community. If we've got people willing to volunteer who are disenfranchised for some reason and we can hear why and what needs to be done differently, is it the process or is it, you know, that they're pushed too hard like so many volunteers are and they burn out? You know, this doesn't just benefit us as a council but everyone in our community and anyone else that they volunteer and their wins go out. This is so important for every single person in Australia that we get volunteering back up and running, and it's alarming figures there. So I think this is really important. I'm just very happy to endorse.
Just a question, we're going to put it online and in the paper advertised or send it out to the community? There's a lot of community groups would have missed out, so you might have a lot of emails. Could you just sort of flick them all out to the... Because a lot of them won't really, a lot of them don't know, they won't, unless they find out from the second sources, they won't know that it's going to be on display.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The idea, unfortunately, the timing of the paper won't work because we're bi-monthly now, but we will use every other channel.
No, I don't mean our paper, I mean the main paper, Mercury.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't planned to do that.
No, that's right, that's fine.
Yeah, it was going to be our usual network, so Brighton Alive, so direct emails to our entire Brighton Alive network, which includes most of our community groups, as well as our social media channels, and then, of course, our website.
Oh, well, let's cover the bases.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ange. Thanks, councillors. Councillors, if there's no further questions, we have a recommendation that we endorse the draft Brighton Community Volunteer Strategy. And put it out for final community feedback for a period of 4 weeks, commencing on Thursday, the 23rd of May. Someone prepared to move?
Yes, happy to
move. By Councillor Curran, second by Councillor Whelan. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you.
I'm against.
Really?
Apologies. You. Item 13.2, naming roads and streets, Tivoli Green, stages 12 to 17. Janine.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Councillors, any questions on of Janine?
I thought it was very appropriate that we've done like that. Yeah. Especially when we've got that area we've got down there to do ourselves.
Yeah. On page 11 of our agenda, there's a recommendation that Council endorse the above road names for Tivoli Green Old Beach, stages 12 to 17, as listed in the report.
When can I make a comment on it prior to that, or is that...
Is there a question involved?
There is.
Excellent, think, sir. Go ahead.
I would question to everyone whether it's important that we represent our native species in the namings, because a couple of the names there are certainly not native species and actually do great damage to our environment, so we shouldn't be probably putting them on a pedestal as something that's really, really important. So I love the concept behind it, but I would... put the question to Council that we consider maybe that they're all native species that are represented, the consumer ones that are seen in that area. I've certainly got a list that I can pop forward and a couple of names potentially as well, but certainly the mallards and the skylarks do great damage to our environment. I would question whether people have considered that.
So they're introduced then once, aren't they?
Yep.
Thanks, Councillor Irons. We have a recommendation on page 11, which I am sure, if you wish, you could move a motion to accept five and ask them to reconsider the last two.
I would like to move that motion.
For native species. I'll second that. Yeah.
Yep.
Janine, are you okay with that particular motion? Does everyone understand what we have said? So we accept the five native species but ask them to reconsider Mallard Road and Skylark Street.
Yep.
Thank you.
Obviously... Do we need those to come back to us, or are we happy to accept a native species name?
I would just suggest there's a lot of confusion around what is native and what's not at times. I don't know how this would work, but I'm very happy to be liaised with on potential names or not as someone that could assist, or I can provide them with a list of potential names of things in the area, or however I might...
Naming birds. Birds.
Are we able to add that Councillor Irons will provide a name of local species to be considered?
I think we can just... We can add a list of
we
native
should have
species
a list. We've got a list.
When we go back to them.
Yep. That's okay. With your guidance.
Yeah, yep. That'd be lovely.
Thank you. Councillors, is there any debate or any further comments? If not, I'll move that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.3 is the dog registration and kennel licence fee for 24/25. Janine. Thanks, Janine. Councillors, any questions of staff? If not, we have a recommendation that Council adopts a proposed animal control fees for the 2024-25 financial year as listed in the report. Someone prepared to move?
Yeah.
Moved by Councillor Curran, second by Councillor Irons. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.4 is a project update for the Ted Jeffries Memorial Park Master Plan 2021 to 2035. And over to Callum.
No worries.
Very exciting.
So, this report's really in two parts and just provides an update on the current status of the project. So just kind of without reading through the entire thing, by way of a quick update, so far over the last 12 months, the master plan has been refined, the design in consultation with user groups and stakeholders. Planning approval for the new club and change rooms has been achieved. Detailed design for the new club has been achieved. Detailed design for the new skate park, car park area, and for Seymour Street Road is well underway, getting ready for tender. There's also the dog park off-lead area that's been completed there, and then ongoing stakeholder engagement. The second portion of the report relates to the existing club rooms at Ted Jeffries Memorial Park. So these club rooms are no longer fit for purpose and are in a poor state of repair. It's on the site where the new club rooms will be located, so they can't remain. But demolition of the structure by a contractor, we've received an estimate that it will be in the order of $30,000 to $40,000 just to remove and send to landfill, which staff don't believe will be a great outcome for this building.
No.
So after careful consideration, two options have been presented for the building for councillors to consider, with the recommendation being that a notice of sale is issued for the structure. So,
yeah.
Over to the council.
Thank you. If you're not going to like this one, Callum, this would probably be the last Musset Hut off the original army site that is left in our possession, certainly. And is there any heritage value to us keeping that particular Musset Hut, seeing it is almost the last standing apart from the hospital, which obviously we have sold?
There is certainly heritage value in the building. The issue that councillor presented with is that the building can't be stored temporarily on a site because it's a structure, a building permit would be required. And to remove the structure and re-erect it elsewhere would require a considerable amount of works to bring that building up to the current building code. And so the estimate that the project managers provided here is in the order of $500,000.
Yep.
Currently, there's no budget allocation for that in the 10-year plan.
Yep. So that was that figure was, sorry?
In the order of $500,000.
Cool.
Can I make a comment that I've been a builder and I've moved these houses, and I've also done work for National Trust. If I got them here to give me a quote of that, I would never have any work. Never. Because it's way, way over the thing. But I do agree, Callum's had it, we've had a chat. Yes, so I do agree that in the time frame there's no way we can do it. And so they really, as much as I'd love to see it go there, just as a basic building without anything in it, even without lighting, just I wanted to see it go on the site just as our Anzac Day, and just have some things in the inside. So no toilets, no nothing, just a basic building sitting on site because we don't want to lose it. But the time frame is not going to work, and I do agree with Callum that the other option is to sell it for the best, why pay someone to break it down?
Yeah.
But if I was moving it, I'd do it miles, miles a lot cheaper than that, miles. And I've already done a fact, checked it out.
Councillors, any questions? Or is any everyone?
Can I ask what a Musset Hut is? I wasn't aware.
It's the accommodation unit used at the army camp back when it was a training centre.
Sure.
They had nothing in them. They're just a basic hut, bare in the middle, door on one end, one on the end, and just bunks in similar to what you had when you was away. So just they all bunked in them for years over there.
No,
so they had them for donkey's years in the army camp, World War II and onwards.
Sure.
They're all over Tasmania now. They were sold at $5,000 a pop, I think, when the army camp was decommissioned.
Sure.
Actually, Clifton Beach's first building was a Musset Hut.
yeah, from back in 1964. Help move it.
Councillors.
Mr. Mayor, just a quick question.
Yeah.
So if we do sell it, and it goes to another municipality, they'll need a permit at their end, but they'll also need a permit at our end to demolish, to remove.
Demolition certainly needs a permit.
Yeah.
To move it, yeah.
So, yeah, do you know what sort of time frames we're sort of looking at? Like, we're not going to get stuck in sort of a situation where we're waiting on someone at the other end to get a permit.
Don't believe the building permit would be that restrictive, but Janine, you might be able to see something in the time frame for how.
No, I'm not sure about time frame.
Just thinking if they need structural plans and whatever else. Before they're allowed to move it or whatever.
Well, they have to workplace safety. You'd have to make sure that that'd be the most crucial one.
I suppose, anyway, it's a time frame thing that we probably just need to be aware of.
If it helps, we're just going through the process of moving a 25-metre building from a school to Bonnerong, and it was very quick to, from that end, it's this end, that was the, it was like a matter of a week to get sort of that.
So how much would it, sorry, through you, Mr. Mayor, how much would it cost to just pick it up and move it without doing anything to it, just move it.
I suppose the answer, Councillor Curran, is that we wouldn't be able to. So to pick it up and move it, we would need the permits in place to be able to reconstruct it elsewhere.
Even
so
temporary.
It couldn't be stored temporarily.
So notice it's not actually, it's just sitting on blocks or something, I suppose. But going back to Councillor Geard's idea of putting it somewhere in the Remembrance Park, would that, because we owned that, would that be feasible?
Temporary.
It's feasible, but it would be at the cost, estimate of about $500,000 of the project.
That's the fully with the toilet seat. And his price, he's got plumbing twice, so he's doubled up. The only plumbing you need there is the actual downpipes for stormwater. Because there's no toilets. No, you wouldn't need them because it's original. It's original mustard hut.
Yeah, there's a significant. It would need to comply with the current building standards.
Mm.
Whereas, as it exists, it potentially doesn't abide by the current code.
So
that's why there's such a significant amount of work that would be required to bring it up to those current standards. There's also the planning of the building is rotting in sections. It would need a complete overhaul to be there.
Could we offer it to the Defence Department, see if they want it?
We could certainly do that. We'd probably consider it likely that they would be interested in it. But we'd certainly notify them as part of the sale process if that's the way the council decides to go.
Mm. Yep. Thanks, Kellen. Councillors, any further questions?
Got no money.
If not, we have a recommendation to accept the project update in regards to the Memorial Park, and that council officers prepare a notice of sale for the removal of the existing timber building at the Ted Jefferson Memorial Park, and with funds to be used towards the master plan works. Someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Irons. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Reluctantly, but aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Thanks, Callum. Item 13.5 is our budget for 2024-25. As we have stopped, and I'll hand over to Gillian.
As councillors are aware, the budget that's presented tonight is the same one that we workshopped back in April, so I'm just presenting this to be approved by council in principle tonight. Council determined in our previous workshop, in the rates workshop, the long-term financial plan workshop, that we needed to increase rates in line with the trends of the outgoing expenses in relation to materials and services, which we're aware is a lot more than what CPI. So it's been identified that rates cannot be that no longer be financially viable to keep rates in line with this CPI. The things to note is the residential properties, the general rate will increase by $91 or $1.75 per week. Pool garbage service, it will be recommended to increase waste by $12 from $270 to $282. FOGO by $7 from $75 to $82. And the waste levy is due to the doubling of the levy by the state government from $10 to $20 per property. So for a residential property with full garbage service, the increase will be $120 or $2.30 per week. As also spoken about in our workshops, Council also identified that the industrial rate will be brought up to in line with the commercial rate over the next 5 years. And this is mainly reflecting the funding that Council is currently putting into making the industrial hub brand and strategy come to fruition. So we've got the recent signage and also landscaping and the pending truck stop project. So the budget is just presented for adoption in principle.
Councillors, you're on the floor. Any questions of Gillian?
No. It's fresh down.
Obviously, we have workshopped this on a couple of occasions. Yep. I understand if there's no questions. We have a recommendation that the 2024-25 budget be adopted in principle. Moved by Councillor Geard, second by Councillor McMaster. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you very much.
Can I just thank Gillian for her work?
Certainly, mate.
Yes.
Thanks, Councillor Rowan.
Thank you, Gillian.
Item 14 is questions on notice. There are no questions on notice for the May meeting. Item 15 is a closed meeting of council.